Welcome to C-Suite Radio.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Idly, hey!
Welcome to another episode of The Brett Allen Show.
Prepare to be astonished!
A pop culture podcast. Join Brett weekly as he interviews your favorite celebrities from film, television,
I'm back in business, baby!
Comedy, and much more.
Inconceivable!
Plus, you never know who will stop by.
Dude, we are so gonna party!
Now, here is your host, Brett Allen.
Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of The Brett Allen Show, a pop culture podcast where we talk to your favorite actors, comedians from film and television, music, comedy, anywhere pop culture hangs out, you will find us there waiting to talk to somebody. And today, I have a very special guest. I'm excited about this conversation. We are talking with comedian Drew Lynch, who has a brand new special out, Concussed, which is hilarious. I mean, you're just funny no matter what, even on your social media, whatever you do. I appreciate you, and I'm excited to chat. Drew, welcome into the show. It's great to have you.
Thanks, Brett. That's such a nice intro.
It's very true. I've been a fan and a follower for a long time, you know, even prior to your time on AGT and all of that stuff. But I want to talk about this special, which is available for people to stream. And if you haven't, you need to. Let's talk about this, because you know, every comic, every comedian kind of has their approach and their way of doing things. And so let's talk about the special and sort of what your preparation was for it and kind of what people can expect if they haven't had the opportunity to watch it yet.
Oh boy. Sure. I usually I don't know that I have a very linear approach to comedy, I guess. Especially with the last year perspective of existential, the end of it all, you know. So it was kind of a shot in the dark approach, because there were a lot of venues that weren't really allowing performers or comics or musicians really of any kind. So for me, I had to develop a lot of the stuff that I guess I was talking about just in quarantine, or just kind of talking to myself or to my fiance or whatever. Just you kind of forget what's funny or what could be something to address. And you know, for years, I think I've always talked about my issues with my speech and how that has affected my, you know, my life. But for the most part, I think everybody was in the same boat and that we all experienced the same thing. So I thought that that was maybe a good place to start when writing. And then it just kind of branched off into a bunch of other maybe random and maybe hot button or controversial stuff. So I don't really know that there was a theme to this one other than just calling things like they were for this past year.
Yeah. I mean, I always think it's interesting because, I mean, I've spoken to a lot of comedians, amazing comedians like yourself, and I always find it fascinating to hear the process. I think that's what I find the most interesting, if that makes any sense. Because if I come see you live, say here in the Bay Area at a comedy club, and I watch you perform, you know, it might be working on new material, or it could be, you know, you've got a special coming up or whatever you're doing, and you do a lot of amazing crowd work. That's the other thing that I like about you, is how you interact with the crowd, because you do very well at that. I think a lot of people, when they come see a comic, they kind of have this expectation, if that makes any sense, to sort of, you know, I won't want to say the word heckled, but to just be played around with. That sounded weird. You know what I mean? Like, you just, it's a fun exchange, right? Like, if I'm going to sit in the front row, it's almost like an unwritten contract that says there's a good chance I'm going to get picked out and we're going to have a conversation. So I like that. And then I see this, but then when I see you like doing a special, even though there's not necessarily a linear theme, it all seems to meld together and make sense. If that, you know what I mean? And that's what I get from your comedy a lot of the time, if not all of it, for sure.
Oh, thank you. I don't know about heckling. I don't know. I usually don't engage with people unless they're engaging with me, and it's almost never confrontational. It's usually just in good fun, but I don't want people to feel like just because they're sitting up in the front row that I don't want them to think that just because they're sitting in the front row that they will be messed with or harassed. You know, I don't know. Well, I think the great comics are the ones who can make it lighthearted, or if there is ever a time where they want to address somebody in the front, they are making it just innocuous. It's very just, you know, casual or yeah, with no intention. Who knows? That was just born. That's just a defense mechanism, I think, for me. I think I got very insecure or self-conscious when I first started out. I was always worried that people were thinking about the way I was talking, or I used to, at a very early into comedy, people used to heckle me for the wrong reasons, because my stutter then was so bad, and now it's gotten so much better. So it used to just be, I used to have this projection that I would put on to a situation now because of how I was treated then. So I almost have to like untrain myself from the way that people might have made me feel about my insecurity, and try not to bring that sort of prejudice or preconceived notion into what is otherwise almost always just innocence and fun and you know, meant to be just a lighthearted experience.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think anybody likes to be made fun of in life, but it's interesting, especially when people, I've watched some of your clips that you post on Instagram, and you always handle things very well, even if someone is just being absolutely absurd. You always win the crowd, I think, you know, and then you get them back, and, you know, or whatever the case might be. I forget my point here, but it's a good experience. And I think that's what makes you so popular with fans and people alike, is because, you know, regardless of how the situation may or may not turn out, people always seem to have a good time. You know, I think when you were here, I say recently, up in Sacramento at the Punchline, you know, I had the opportunity to watch you. It's fun watching you operate, because I think the skill set that comedians have is just so different than any other kind of art form, for me, at least from my perspective. When you kind of alluded to this earlier, I'm very curious, when you first started out and were doing this comedy and stand-up, what were some of the challenges that you faced to sort of kind of find your voice and go, okay, this is who I'm going to be? Did you watch other comics and have people that you observed that you looked up to, or was it a situation where you just kind of decided to dive in and start and sort of just see what happens with this idea of stand-up comedy?
That's a really good question. I always watched stand-up growing up. I watched like Chappelle, I watched Ron White, I watched Ellen and Louie and Bill Engvall. Like, I watched a lot of it, but I watched Dane. I watched a lot of it, but never from the perspective or with the intention of, I guess, analyzing it, because I never wanted to be a stand-up. And, you know, it wasn't until I wasn't getting hired anywhere in Los Angeles as an actor because of my concussion that I started to talk on stage about it and kind of regain control of my life. Like, that's what I needed at that time, was to maybe not just to not feel so helpless in my situation. And that was the only way I felt like I had some control again. And I want to say that I didn't even know how to write a joke. And then I read, I think, like the Comedy Bible by Judy Carter. And she was talking about target assumptions and a sentence starting one way, and then at the end it goes somewhere else. And, you know, I just kind of translated that. It took me forever to grasp that concept, but I took that concept and I tried to apply it to word economy and how slow my voice used to be. And I used to just get like a word document, and I would write the first part of something I wanted to say, and then I would put an ellipsis, and then I would put like the last word or the last two words. And then you could change those two words, and it sometimes changes the entire context of a joke or of a sentence or any of that. And I think in a way, because people had such a short attention span when it came to suffering, maybe through what I was saying, I think that maybe forced me to try and sharpen every single word. Everything that wasn't needed, you lose it. And the mechanics of stand up and a structure of joke is what kind of led me somewhere. It didn't ever start to get like a point of view until someone told me that I should get a stronger point of view for what I was saying. So I don't know if that, you know, I don't know. Like, I just kind of fell into it and found my way. And I just honestly, some days I still don't even know what I'm doing. Sometimes I'll remind myself that it's okay to have a really silly joke as well as having one that could make an impact for what would otherwise be humanitarian or controversial or whatever. And then you can have something that's so absurd that it wouldn't be a joke that would abide by any level of structure. So I guess the freedom of expressing yourself in any given way has been the thing that has guided me through whatever is written next.
I find that so fascinating, Drew, because you just kind of dissecting what you just said. And I say this all the time with all the comedians, some that you've mentioned I've had on the podcast, had the honor to talk to. And it really is a skill set, like writing a joke. You know, I have a 7-year-old and he tells knock knock jokes all day long without any kind of thought. Or, you know, sometimes they make absolutely no sense, but they're funny to him because he's 7. You know what I mean? It's why did the chicken cross the road? I don't know. Why? Because he wanted to go to the restaurant. It's like, what? That doesn't make any sense. But you know what I mean? So it's funny, but word economy and target assumption, those are buzzwords that are in a toolkit for a comic. You know, some people go up on stage and they just talk. And then if something sticks to the wall, then great, they're going to do that. Or some people write everything down word for word. I don't know. Everybody's got their method. But at the end of the day, the product is the same, right? It's either it turns into a special or maybe a comedy album. Like, you take a Doug Benson who, for a large part of his act, reads tweets, and it's people die laughing. And it's like, you know, what works for one may not work for other. But again, going back to this special concuss, when I watched it a few times, I could see inside of your brain kind of, because you do talk about yourself, you know, but not in a self-deprecating sort of way. And there's a little bit of that. And if you go back and watch what you've done maybe 10 years ago to now, it's different, markedly different. Not that one's, you know, better than the other necessarily. It's just all funny. Like, it's great, but you can see the trajectory of however you've decided to go about writing. When you are coming up with new jokes, I know, you know, like we talked about this last year was insane, but prior to that, do you spend a lot of time when you're at a club? Like, how much is like greatest hits versus like maybe trying like new stuff, and do you kind of weave it all together, or how, what is your secret sauce, if you want to share that?
No, that's, there's really no secret. I think it, like you just said, you know, every comic has their own approach to how they want to do something. And I'll see some comics who are around LA and they go up and they just do the hits all the time. Like, there are guys who are younger, guys who are older, who will just go up and they just, like, they will just do the stuff that they know that works. And there is a respect that I have for doing that, because if that doesn't kill your soul, then you have quite an impenetrable spirit. I mean, that's amazing. But to me, that kind of sucks out all of the joy of growth and trying. And, you know, you have to try and push yourself. So I guess, you know, if you want to try to, you might want to do something up top that maybe lets the audience know that you know what you're doing. And then you try to work something in the middle where you're like, all right, this is the stuff that I'm working on. And maybe try to make that as seamless as possible from the first part to the middle part. And then maybe if you want to close strong, I guess there's also that expectation, but I don't know. If you see comedians, there's a certain seasoned nature to, there's like a certain seasoned gravitas to going on stage and still being able to have the attention of the room, even though not everything you're saying is like a knock out of the park kind of joke. And sure, there's a dance, I think, with that. And sometimes I get so stubborn or stagnant, or even just like I get so staid in my intention that I forget that it is a dance, and that there is some breathability and malleability with what you're supposed to be doing. So, you know, at the end of the day, there can be things that you do for yourself, and then there's things that you do for the audience, and maybe there's a happy medium where the my truth is somewhere in between those two things. So, but you know, everybody truly is different, and everybody has, like, I've seen people who go on stage and they don't have any material prepared whatsoever, and they thrive within the discomfort of yeah, that. And you know, sometimes you can get like a little gem out of that, and sometimes you walk away and you have nothing. But it just kind of varies.
I think that is what the beauty is of what you do as an artist, as a comedian, you know, taking risk and putting yourself out there, and you know, having that thick skin, I guess you could say, or whatever that skill set is that you have as a comedian. And that's what makes you successful, Drew. I'm fully convinced is because of that. I don't necessarily know that I could do it per se, but the strength and the courage and whatever that you portrayed is great. Any comedian, really, because it brings joy to people like myself and our listeners and other people. And you turn out with great material that you've done, you know, whether it's televised or the special Concussed, which people can stream. And there's a million clips out there of you, and some of your stuff is hilarious. I mean, there are so many things that you talk about, that I can relate to either on a personal level or that are just funny. And, it's great. If people want to kind of connect and find out where you're traveling, are you able to travel right now, or are you still kind of working things out a little bit in that sense?
I'm in LA right now, but I go on tour the beginning of November and December. So I'm kind of in this limbo of getting things ready for what's to come. Cause once you get done with an hour, you dump it and you gotta start over. So that's what happens now, but I'm hoping that, I think some stuff will be in the works when I go on tour in November and December.
We have been chatting with comedian Drew Lynch, and the special Concussed is available now to stream. It's hilarious. If you have not had the chance to watch it, please do. We will link it in our show notes. And thank you for pressing play and being a part of today's episode. Be sure to share this with a friend. Head over to Apple Podcasts. You can do that. It's easy. Or whichever device that you have in your hand. Drew, thanks for joining me today. I appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, thanks, Brett. I had fun as well.
That brings today's show to a close.
Goodly do.
Thanks for stopping by. If you enjoyed the episode, feel free to share it with a friend and subscribe. It's absolutely free. The views and opinions of the guests do not necessarily reflect those of the host.
Autobots, roll out.
Go home.